Luke 9:57 through the end of the chapter. Hear God's word. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Well, we all have a lot of experience with what we're going to discuss tonight. And that experience may or may not relate as much directly to obeying God, but certainly we all have experience at avoiding responsibility. An experience at finding reasons to delay obedience or to delay doing the things that we know that we ought to do. There's always just one more thing. And so whether you're a child who has experience of saying, "I'll get to it later, Mom. I'll work on that a different day, Dad." Or maybe it's your experiences as a husband, finding reasons not to get to the honey-do list. "And I think I can work on these things a different day. Thank you very much." We always have these ways that we avoid doing work. I'm reminded of the book Cheaper by the Dozen. And in that book, Frank Gilbreth, who was one of the first people to really study motion science and industrial engineering, and so how people go about their job. He always wanted, when he went into a plant to try to help them get better at their process, any sort of job site, he would ask, "Who is the laziest person here?" Because he knew if he could watch the laziest person do their work, right away he could get some clues about how to cut corners on the job, how to make the job a little more efficiently done. Well, we all have our ways of avoiding work. And if it's true that we are skilled at avoiding things like housework, things like obedience to parents, things like work on a job site, how much more is it true that we find ourselves being very skilled at avoiding the complete and extreme obedience that Jesus Christ calls us to? And so when Christ says to us, "Follow me," and then we look at what following me really means, and we see that it's going to be difficult, we can come up with all sorts of excuses to not follow Christ, all sorts of distractions and impediments, ways to delay our obedience and to push it off. And these verses call us very clearly that the call of Christ to follow him is a call to follow him now, and to follow him in the way that he calls us to follow him, not in a modified way, not in a, "Well, I'll get around to it later, I'll do it a little bit different way." It's a call to follow him in the way that he's prescribed us to right now. And the question that this passage confronts each one of us with is, what is it in your life that keeps you from following Christ now? What is it in your life that's distracting you, that's furnishing you with excuses, furnishing you with delays for your obedience and to your obedience of Jesus Christ? Well, what we find here is three different potential disciples of Christ, three potential followers of Christ, who all had reasons and barriers to their discipleship. And in their reasons for delay, in their reasons for postponing discipleship, we really see ourselves and our reasons painted and dealt with by Christ. First of all, this first fellow comes to Christ. He's a volunteer. He's an eager volunteer for discipleship, for ministry alongside Christ. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. So it's a man with very high ideals. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What was it that was going to hold back this man from following Christ? Here he thought he wanted to follow Christ. And yet, what Christ quickly realized, what Christ realized about his character was that this man had a glorified view of obedience. And he had not weighed the cost. He had not counted the cost or anticipated the difficulties. And so Christ confronts him with those. Seems as if whoever this man was, that he had an expectation that, Jesus, I'd like to come with you because I'm sure that someone with your power and your authority, someone who's as great as you, gets to bunk at the Hyatt every night and have breakfast in bed. And surely the lobster dinner as well the night before. And Jesus says, Jesus confronts him on that and says, look, realize this. The birds have somewhere to sleep. The foxes have somewhere to sleep. But I don't have a set place to sleep. So this young man, this man is confronted with that. And he's, the reality is that Christ is confronting him with is the difficulty of following Jesus Christ. And the reality is that following Christ is hard. And so when we think about following Christ now and what it means to follow Christ, we have to be careful to not glamorize that and to say, well, if I follow Christ, everything is going to work out perfectly. Everything is going to be perfectly happy and easy in my life. In our high school Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about true Christian fellowship. And one of the things that we talked about with true Christian fellowship was what? That's not always a pleasant thing. There are times when true Christian fellowship means that we get in each other's faces a little bit. And we talked about that from Hebrews, spurring one another on to love and good works. Being spurred and spurring somebody else is not always a very pleasant activity. Being kicked in the sides, right? I don't think the horse exactly enjoys being spurred, right? Well, in a similar way, true Christian fellowship, if we define it as meaning that we always get together and have warm fuzzies and that that's what defines Christian fellowship, then we've defined it a little bit too narrowly. So following Christ can be difficult. And there's suffering. There's pain involved. It's painful to die to yourself, isn't it? It's painful to put to death the flesh, to lay aside your own reputation. It's painful to lay aside what you would want to be doing at a given point in time in order to do what the Lord has called you to do. And so often Christ calls us to do things that we would rather not do. And one of the things that holds us back at times from obedience to Christ is that we look and we say, but wait, what if the Lord calls me to fill in the blank? It's part of my dad's testimony that he was in college and being confronted with the gospel at Taylor University, that one of the things that held him back was, well, what if the Lord decides I need to be a missionary? I don't want to be a missionary. And so I don't want to come to Christ. I'd rather be the way I am. But the Lord confronts us with His call on us. And His call on us is that the birds have a place to lay down, the foxes do. But in following me, I'm not going to guarantee you all the creature comforts of the world. So one of the things that may be holding you back from following Christ now is an unwillingness to give up certain things, an unwillingness to face and to march forward into certain difficulties. But being willing to lay down our life and to follow Christ means that we are willing to do that. I saw the movie Khartoum not too long ago. I don't know how many of you have seen that, but in that movie, as Khartoum's under siege, their troops, they're on the first line of defense as these thousands of the occupying troops come at the city. And those troops had to know that their lives were, you know, there may be somebody in the back of Khartoum, you know, in the middle of the city who gets to survive this if our defense of the city is successful, as unlikely as it was. Historically, it didn't happen, of course. But those frontline guys knew that their job was to die. There's no question that they were going to die. In the same sense, what are we willing to do to serve Christ? Are we willing to be on the front lines? Are there things that we say to Christ, no, I won't tackle that assignment for you. No, I can't do that. That's too hard. And so anticipated difficulties can keep us from following Christ now. The second person who Christ interacts with, the second man, is one who Christ calls to follow him. First guy came as a volunteer. The second guy, Jesus, says to him, follow me. But he has his own reasons for delaying. And his reason is, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says, well, let the dead bury their own dead. And what seems to be perhaps one of the most insensitive things that Jesus said. When Jesus deals harshly with the Pharisees, we can understand that. But in this case, this man seems to have a reasonable and even a noble request, a concern for his father. Now, one thing that we need to be clear on is that the language here does not mean that his dad is already dead and he needs to go home and dig a grave for his father. Remember in this day and age that the children were the parents' social security. And he's saying to Jesus, Jesus, let me go back home until my father dies and then I will come and follow you. And Jesus perceives in this young man, and the reason he deals so bluntly with him is because he recognizes that for somebody like this, and we can see ourselves in this, there can always be another excuse for why we aren't going to follow Jesus. And what Jesus could see about this man is, you know, today the rationale is, let me go and bury my father. Let me go home and take care of my dad until he's dead. But then in 3 years from now, the reason will be that my mom now needs somebody to take care of her. And 5 years after that, the thing will be, well, now I've gotten married and I have children to raise. So let me raise these children and then I'll serve and obey you, Lord. And then after that, it'll be, well, I'm kind of getting to be an old man myself, Jesus. So let me wait and follow you after these events take place. And the thing that we need to watch out for is the attitude or anything that says, I will follow Jesus once, ... I will obey Christ in this way. Maybe our thing is, once my unbelieving parents are out of the way, then I can serve Christ wholeheartedly. Once I get this promotion, once I get through this phase of my life, then I'll serve the Lord. Once I accomplish this personal goal, then I'll lay down my life to follow Christ. Or we can do it a little bit of a reverse way. We can find ourselves saying, I will read my Bible regularly once, dot, dot, dot. I will stop engaging in this type of activity once, dot, dot, dot. But the call of Christ is to recognize that if you won't do it today, you should have no expectation that you will get around to it tomorrow. Because if there's a competing love that gets in the way of your love for Christ right now, rest assured, there will be competing loves that will get in the way of your love for Jesus Christ tomorrow as well. And that will block the way of you loving Christ then. And that you'll never get to that point. That once I get this done, then I will love Christ. Well, once you get this done, there will be another once I get this done and this done and this done. And just like my to-do list in life gets longer and longer and longer the longer I live, so what you will find is the longer you put off obeying Christ, the longer your list of once I get this done, then I'll get around to loving Christ will be. So Christ calls you to love Him now, to follow Him now, and not to put it off until once you have gotten this or that or the other thing done. So those are our first two. There's an evaluation of just creature comforts. And I don't want to serve Jesus. It's going to be difficult for me. I don't want to serve Jesus. Secondly, because I have other things to do. I have other priorities competing for my love. You see, lastly, this final young man coming, and once again a volunteer saying, I keep calling these young men, I don't know why, they're men. But Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Once again, Jesus seems very harsh in his dealings. Isn't it only polite? I mean, doesn't the scripture want us to practice basic courtesy to other people? And if you're going to go away and travel off somewhere, aren't you, you don't want your parents and your relatives being worried about you. So can't I go home and say goodbye so that everybody knows I'm off and I'm, where I'm going? Why is it that Christ deals once again so directly with this man? Well, this also ties in with what we've just said about the once. But here it's more of a, let me just once more. And the thing that Christ realized about this man is that if given the opportunity to go back just once more, that his heart was likely to be ensnared just once more. Christ calls on him to just look forward. Look forward and do what you're called to. Stop looking back. Stop looking back at your past loves, at your past comforts. I'm very comfortable where I'm at. And sometimes we just need to lay aside those things and plow forward in obedience and not keep looking back, not keep traveling back, but instead to look forward by faith. One of the reasons why what Christ does in the lives of these men is so defensible and is such the right way to approach is if we just evaluate our own inclination toward disobedience and delayed obedience, what we realize is it takes a strong hand to jar us loose. We need a strong hand to help us along in doing what is right. And that's what Christ is furnishing. It's a loving thing for him to call these men out of their complacency, out of their sleepiness, and to strong arm them a little. To say, wake up! It's time to go forward. And Christ, remember, following Christ at this point in Christ's life, where's Christ? Remember, Christ has left Galilee. He's on his way down to Judea. This last time we were together, they were traveling through Samaria. So he's getting close. His time on earth is limited. the opportunity for them to follow him during the course of his... Now, of course, there's opportunity to follow him after he's gone. But the opportunity to follow him during his life is almost gone. And so he's doing the loving thing to tell them, now is the day of salvation. Now is the opportunity to follow me. You'll never get a better chance than right now. God's calling us in a very similar way to look forward by faith. And to say, what God has for me is better. And I can trust him. I can lay aside my creature comforts. I can lay aside the things on my to-do list, the things that are, you know, once I do this, I can lay those aside and trust the Lord that he can make me happy and fulfilled not having done those things. I can lay aside the things that I love that distract me from serving him and keep my face going forward and by faith trust that what God has for me is better. And it brings us right back to that question that we started with, which is, what is keeping you from following Christ now? What is it that's competing for your love for Jesus Christ? It's important to remember that not only is Christ loving in his call on these people to discipleship, to following him in terms of the shortness of their own lifespan. But Christ is loving in this call on them in that he is doing nothing less than asking them to do what he has already done. When he says, follow me, and then he puts these additional descriptors on it, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Let the dead bury their dead, but you go preach the gospel. And when he says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And all those things, all that he's asking them for is to follow him. Because remember, even as Christ is saying this, he is being an immediate obeyer. He has been an immediate obeyer in difficult circumstances. And it's his immediate and willing obedience that is the source of your salvation. Just think about Christ. What is Christ doing right now at this point in the Gospel of Luke? Christ is on his way where? To Jerusalem. Remember, Christ has set his face. He knows what's coming, and he's doing it. But even as he marches that road to Jerusalem to face his own death, he has every reason to avoid it. What about the creature comforts? Is it a tough road to go to Jerusalem for him? Absolutely. Is it going to be a tough road for him once he gets to Jerusalem? Yes, it is. And yet he's willing to lay aside his own inclination and to do that, to face the difficulties of the cross. Does Jesus have people who he loves, who he would want to bury and take care of in their old age? Absolutely. One of the words of Christ from the cross is what? John, your mother. Is Jesus concerned about Mary? We don't know where Joseph is at this point. Joseph may well be dead. Does Jesus care about his mother? Does he have reason to say to the Father, it's not a good time for me to go to Jerusalem. I need to be here with my mother and take care of her. I'll go to Jerusalem when it's a more convenient time for me. Yes, he does. He could have made that argument. And yet he obeyed the Father now and marched forward to his own death on the cross. What about this last guy? How does his excuse, how could Christ have made that same excuse? Well, in a very similar way, this guy says, look, I've got great friends and family where I am. I've got people to say goodbye to now. And what could Jesus have said? Jesus could have said, ministry is going great in Galilee. Yeah, there's some opposition, but there's a lot of people who really like what I'm doing. I've got people who are listening to me, people who are following me and hanging on my every word. And Father, it's not a good time to go to Jerusalem. There are nasty people down there like the Pharisees who are going to gang up on me and not listen to me. I've got a good thing going right here. So let me just stay here a little bit longer and minister in this community in Galilee. And yet, Christ, in spite of having all the same excuses that these men had to keep from obeying, Christ followed. And he did the will of his Father. And his immediate obedience and willing obedience in the face of difficulty is the reason why you and I have the hope of salvation. And in calling you and me to follow him now, he is calling you and me to nothing less than what he has already done for us. So Christ calls you to follow him today. And the encouragement to us is, some of the encouragements of this passage to us as we do that is, for one thing, we can know with certainty that it is never too soon to follow Christ. It's never too soon for you to hear the voice of Christ and say, Christ, I will obey you. Christ, if you give the word, I will do it. Christ, if you do give the word, I will do it and do it now and do it without delay and without excuse. But if it's never too soon to obey, notice also the glorious encouragement from this passage that it's never too late to obey either. There's not a time limit put on this. There's not a time limit put on the call to follow. The call of the passage is to follow and follow completely and to follow now completely. And so it's not too late to follow. So it's never too soon. It's never too late. But also remember that there's never a good excuse for not following. Any excuse that you and I can have about the way being difficult, about our loves and our obligations in this world, or opportunities and friendships that we have, none of those are greater than the reasons that Christ had to avoid what obedience led him to do. The simple call of this passage is to follow Christ now. Once again, what is it that keeps you from living in obedience to the Lord? What is it that is delaying you from doing those things that the Lord has put on your plate? Scripture is clear that today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So may we be a people who, by God's grace, follow Christ, not tomorrow, not once it's easier for us, not once we get through this stage and phase of our life, but may we be a people who, by God's grace, follow Christ right now and live our lives for him. Let's pray. Lord, it's very easy for us to make all sorts of excuses. Our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are inclined to come up with all sorts of reasons not to follow you. Our hearts are inclined to love this world and the things in the world, and to love the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the eyes. Lord, our inclination is to love the comforts of this world. Our inclination is to want to keep looking back, and we confess that to you. Lord, would you make us, as we sing about in Psalm 110, would you make us a willing people in this day of Jesus Christ? Help us to delight in serving you, we pray, and to do it now. In Christ's name, amen.